Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, how Iran's first direct attack on Israel took place.
This mission, dubbed True Promise, has been concluded by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard forces, and now they're waiting to see if there will be any kind of a response from Israel.
I'm Natasha Del Toro, and this is The Take. More than 300 Iranian drones and missiles made their way toward Israeli airspace late Saturday night into Sunday morning, local time. Most were intercepted by Israel and its allies, but there was some damage to one airbase, and a 7-year-old girl was severely injured by shrapnel. The tension ahead of this attack had been mounting for nearly 2 weeks. Ever since Israel launched their own strike on an Iranian consulate in Damascus April 1st.
Iran's Revolutionary Guard said one of their senior commanders was among the dead.
It does appear that this was a strike by aircraft, which means effectively that it could only have been Israel that was involved.
That strike killed 13 people, including 7 members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard. It's not the first time Israel has assassinated Iranian officials. The two countries have fought a shadow war for decades. Iranian nuclear scientists and military officials have been assassinated over the years, something for which Iran blames Israel. And since October 7th, Israel has increased its attacks on Iranian targets in Syria. But for Iran, this one was different. An attack on the consulate was an attack on Iran's sovereignty. Here's Ayatollah Ali Khamenei on April 10th.
Embassies in any country are considered part of the soil of the country that owns them. When they attack our consulate, it's as if they have attacked our land. This is an international norm.
And he promised a response.
The wicked regime made a mistake in this case. It must be punished, and it will be punished.
But for days, there was just waiting.
Israel remains on high alert, bracing itself for the possibility of an attack by Iran in retaliation for the bombing of its consulate in Damascus.
Warning signs are flashing red throughout the Middle East and beyond tonight.
U.S. and Israeli officials are preparing for strikes by Iran and Iran's proxies inside Israel. And Iran has never attacked Israel with kinetic weapons before.
And Israel was poised. This is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
I have set a clear principle. Whoever strikes us, we will strike him. We will defend ourselves against every threat, and we will do this calmly and with determination.
That was around 10 p.m. Tel Aviv time, Saturday night. The waiting ended minutes later. The first reports of drones launched from Iran started just before 11 p.m. Israeli time. Here's Israeli military spokesperson Daniel Hagari speaking from Tel Aviv.
Iran has launched drones from its territory towards the territory of the State of Israel. We are monitoring the threat in the airspace. It is a threat that takes several hours to reach Israeli territory. The Israeli military and the Air Force are carrying out the plan we have prepared for.
It was half an hour later in Tehran and over 1,500 kilometers away.
It's quite late here now. Most of the public has gone to bed. But when they wake
up, Al Jazeera correspondent Dorsa Jabari heard the news and headed into the bureau.
We got an official statement from the Revolutionary Guard who said the following. They said that they have launched dozens of drones and missiles to hit some specific targets inside occupied territories to punish the illegitimate regime. Of course, we didn't get any warnings from officials here that this was about to happen. However, there have been threats over the past 10 days that Iran would retaliate in some way. That is what we've been waiting for, and this is what we're seeing unfold tonight.
In Israel, the government was preparing for what was heading their way. They shut down schools and limited public gatherings. Here's Al Jazeera correspondent Hamda Salhut reporting from Tel Aviv.
Israel's prime minister actually convened his security cabinet this evening at the Kiryat. That's Israel's defense ministry, right in the heart of Tel Aviv. And it's also where there was a protest happening right outside of it, calling to oust that same prime minister. So there is a lot of fear. There is a lot of worry. The police, in fact, ended up telling demonstrators to leave this protest immediately because of new guidelines. So those guidelines state that as of 11 p.m. tonight, gatherings of more than 1,000 people are banned. It was quite interesting hearing from demonstrators there who even said on the loudspeaker that in the face of this Iranian attack, whatever might come their way, they still want new leadership.
We are actually suspecting that this is an attempt to prevent us from protesting, as many other attempts and all kinds of tricks have been done before.
It was soon announced cruise missiles and ballistic missiles were also headed towards Israel from Iran. At the same time, Iran's mission to the UN was setting the narrative with a post on X, the social network. They said this was their response to Israel's attack on Damascus, citing the UN Charter on Self-Defense. The statement also said, quote, "The matter can be deemed concluded." Should Israel make another, quote, mistake, Iran promised its response then would be more severe. Iran also warned the U.S. to stay away. Even though Iran was saying this had been concluded, the drones and missiles had yet to land.
This is the largest drone attack ever, it looks like. Hundreds of drones launched, after which the cruise and ballistic missiles that Iran launched followed.
And in Tehran, another Al Jazeera reporter, Maziar Motamedi, was watching and waiting.
So the attacks started launching around midnight Iran time. And at the same time, Hezbollah in Lebanon started attacking. Projectiles were launched from Yemen and also from the resistance in Iraq. So also aimed at overwhelming air defense. And the mood here seems to be one of concern and also anticipation as to where this is going.
He says state media there has been showing people in the streets of Tehran and other cities.
People pouring into the streets celebrating, and pro-state people were in Palestine Square in Tehran waving banners and chanting death to Israel and death to America. But naturally, Israel said it will be responding and everybody will be looking as to what that could look like. But the attack seems to be still ongoing. We have to see how much damage it will do, where exactly it will hit, and what will happen.
By 1:45 Sunday morning in Tel Aviv, that was becoming more clear. Sirens were blaring across Israel and lights flashed in the sky, accompanied by giant booms.
Samid, hi. There is active interceptions happening here in the skies over Tel Aviv. There are sirens.
Here's Hamda Salhut again.
There are projectiles flying in the sky, but it is a little bit difficult to point out what it is. There are explosions happening right there up. It's quite an active situation. There have been a lot of updates from Israeli Home Front Command. It's calling on people to go to shelters in specific areas. Yes, these are more interceptors that are coming up and that are being intercepted in the skies right now actively. Sirens blaring out in Tel Aviv in several different locations and additionally all over the country. This is an active situation here. There is a lot that is falling from the sky at this point in time, and we can hear some explosions in the distance here, but again, it is hard to tell if these are the drones themselves, if these are other types of projectiles that were launched. But again, the Israeli military is actively intercepting projectiles all over Israel, not just in Tel Aviv, and there are areas all over the country, in fact, specifically in the south near Dimona, where there is a nuclear plant that the Israeli Home Front Command has told people to remain in sheltered and safe areas, meaning bomb shelters, until further notice. But where we are specifically...
This was the scene across much of Israel, also witnessed from the West Bank. More after the break.
The Inside Story podcast dissects, analyzes, and helps define major global stories.
we get into the details with experts who explain how policies affect people. The Inside Story podcast by Al Jazeera. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
The attack by Iran and Israel's ability to largely fend it off was also a reminder that while Israel may not be invincible, the military balance of power still remains in its favor. Here's Al Jazeera defense editor Alex Katopoulos.
The attack on Israel took three forms. You had drones being launched. They fly very slowly, 185 kilometers an hour, which would be slow for World War II, some 80 plus years ago, let alone now in the 21st century. They also carried a very small warhead, 50 kilograms, not going to do a vast amount of damage. But what they do is tie up air defense and patrolling Israeli fighter jets as they try and hunt them all down. Next, you've got cruise missiles themselves, which are more powerful, fly more quickly, carry warheads of about, say, 200 to 400 kilograms, so approaching a half a ton. And then you have the ballistic missiles themselves, between a ton to half a ton, huge warheads, moving very quickly, much harder to intercept. And on the Israeli side, you have this multi-tiered air defense system that has never been put to this kind of test before. Of course, the Iranians now using missiles as the prime means of attacking Israel because their air force is dilapidated, antiquated, and frankly tiny. So it is the only way for Iran to be able to take the war to Israel itself.
By 4:40 a.m., the Israeli Home Front Command downgraded the alert level across the country, telling Israelis they no longer needed to stay around shelters. The Israeli military says the vast majority of drones and missiles were intercepted outside the country's borders, with help from the United States, the United Kingdom, and France. Jordan also shot down some missiles headed towards Israel as they flew through Jordanian airspace. Israel also said, quote, a small number of hits were identified at a military base in southern Israel, and there was minor damage to the infrastructure. A missile fragment also injured that 7-year-old girl. Attention was now shifting to Washington, D.C., where U.S. President Joe Biden had just had a call with Netanyahu.
And on Thursday, some 24 hours before Iran launched its attack on Israel, Biden looked at the camera when he was giving a speech, and he told Iran, don't, as in, do not attack Israel. Nevertheless, Iran went ahead with its attack.
Al Jazeera's Ali Harb is in Washington and was reporting what was happening there Saturday night. Now it's clear, he says, Iran's impact from the attack was not massive.
Still, the attack can be described as historic. This is the first time Israel has come under attack by Iran in its history. Seeing images of projectiles and missiles and drones in the skies of Jerusalem, in the skies of the West Bank, these images sort of break the image of deterrence that Israel has built for itself over the decades, that it is above and beyond being attacked, because if it does come under assault, its response would be devastating and destructive.
So Ali was watching. Now that Iran attacked Israel, how would the U.S. respond?
The immediate reaction from the White House was for Biden to convene his national security team, again expressing ironclad support for Israel. Later in the evening, Biden spoke with Benjamin Netanyahu. The White House statement said that the American president again expressed ironclad support for Israel, but it said that Biden lauded Israel's ability to defend itself as if to play down the impact of the Iranian attack. And then it said that Biden would convene the G7 to discuss a diplomatic response to the Iranian attack. And this suggests that maybe Biden is looking to use diplomatic tools or sanctions to punish Iran for this attack rather than go along with a military response. But we are reaching a stage where the two American goals that have been clearly stated at the start of the war on Gaza, blank and unconditional and uncompromising and quote-unquote ironclad support for Israel, the other goal being preventing the war from expanding, those two goals are coming into conflict with each other. And the United States seems to be unable to do both. And it is at this junction where Biden must decide, does he want to continue with this unconditional support for Israel, or does he want to de-escalate tensions in the region?
In Tehran on Sunday afternoon, Dorsa said that life appeared to be going on as normal.
I think based on what we've seen and heard from ordinary Iranians over the past few hours as they woke up to this news, first, there is a sense of relief that Iran has finally managed to stand up to Israel after four decades of this shadow war that has continued between the two sides. This is the first time Iran has taken a direct response to Israel. But there is a sense of worry about what Israel will do next, and especially Benjamin Netanyahu is looking for any excuse to attack Iran. He has said over the past 20 years that Iran is one of the biggest threats for Israel, and that one way of eradicating this threat is by attacking the Iranian nuclear sites. There are six facilities across Iran. But the ordinary Iranians are basically waiting to see what happens. Life continues here as regular.
The Dorsa says until Monday morning, domestic air travel in Iran remains closed. And that's The Take. This episode was produced by Nagin Oliai, Amy Walters, and David Enders, with Chloe K. Lee, Suri El-Khalili, Khaled Sultan, Ashish Malhotra, Sonia Bagat, Zeyna Badr, Veronica Campana, and me, Natasha Del Toro, in for Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Alexander Locke is The Take's executive producer, and Nay Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back.